there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Organize and Energize podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to unlock your sales strategy superpower. We're going to be speaking with Lynn Wetback. She's the queen of sales. And listen, business owners, entrepreneurs hire Lynn to ignite winning sales because most are chasing down leads, lacking client loyalty, conversion, and profit. So Lynn helps eliminate the lengthy, chaotic sales cycle to ignite your sales and unleash lasting profits. Sound good? You know, the bottom line is we don't want to make this harder than it has to be, and sales should really be a win-win, and that's why I like Lynn and what she does. She's the founder and CEO of Petite Two Queen. She's the host of Claim Your Career Crown on Palooza TV and the Get More Clients show, streaming on Amazon Fire, Roku, Apple. She's also been seen in USA Today, HuffPost, Chicago Tribune, and more. When Lynn's not working with clients, she loves visiting national parks like me, cooking like me, and playing Pokemon Go, which I haven't really done very much. Anyhow, let's get started. And I really, really am looking forward to introducing you to Lynn. Hi, everyone. As promised, I'm back with Lynn, and we're going to talk about how to make more sales, better sales, easier sales, because Lynn is the sales queen. So thanks for coming on, Lynn.
Oh, Kathy, I'm so excited to be here and spend time with you. This is going to be wonderful.
Absolutely. So the Petite Two Queen, I like that. I just have to ask you how you came up with that.
Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways, but the real story is we were sitting around at the beginning of the company at dinner, and I looked across at my team because we were trying to come up with a name that would sort of encapsulate women and diversity. I mean, I don't care if you got purple hair and tats. It's about being a good person. And I just looked across, and they're size 2 to size 6. And I went petite to queen. And so that was, and I checked right then on my iPhone, and sure enough, the URL was available, and I bought it at the dinner table.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. I love going on to GoDaddy and saying, can I buy that domain? So yeah. And for those of you, you'll know, because I'll see it in the show notes, but it's petite number 2 queen. Yeah.
.com. Although I do own multiple versions of it. So.
Of course. Don't we all? We always have to do that. So talk to me about the beginnings of your career. I mean, I know you're a master at client interactions and getting sales, but how did that all transpire? What's your background?
Well, you know, I've been selling since I was a Girl Scout. And in fact, that transitional year from being a brownie to becoming a Girl Scout, that was the first year I could sell cookies. And that year there was this very special cookie badge. And I coveted that badge and I wanted that badge. So I got my friend Judy, who was very shy and introverted. I got our cookies. And that first day I hit our neighborhood, pulling my little red wagon loaded with cookies door to door. And at the end of that day, I went, wow, this is going to be really hard to get this cookie badge, because you had to sell a truckload, literally a truckload of cookies to get that badge. And I talked to my parents, and my dad asked me a very simple question. Where do people buy their cookies? And I went, at the grocery store. And so the next day, there we were at the grocery store. And now, remember, I told you my friend Judy was really shy and introverted. When we were doing the door-to-door, she stayed at the sidewalk with the wagon. I was the one running back and forth. So... instead, now I was like the Walmart greeter. I was pulling them into the table. Judy took their money, handed them their cookies. And at the end of cookie season, we were the only 2 girls in our troop to win that cookie badge. And we were the youngest 2 girls in the state, our state, to win that cookie badge.
Woo! That's an amazing story. That's so cool. Yeah, now all the Girl Scouts are always at the grocery stores right there.
Well, yeah. It makes a lot more sense rather than them going door to door. So, but you know, it's just, it really embodies what's joyful about sales. I mean, when you love your product or service, you love the organization, it makes selling a whole lot easier. So my first tip I have to tell you is if you do not love your product or service, you don't love the organization, it's going to be really hard for you to sell that product and to feel great about it and to come to your clients with that joyful, exuberant excitement.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You have to be behind it all the way and feel like it's the next best thing. Otherwise, why would you be selling it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we jump from Girl Scout massive cookie seller to what? What do you do next?
Really, we could just move on to after graduate school. And I literally did start in sales by talking to the owner of the business. There were two partners, and I talked them into letting me go into outside sales. And I started on April Fool's Day. But that first year, I outsold the junior partner. And the next year, I outsold the senior partner. So sales just came really naturally to me because my core value is to help and to serve. And sales is how you do that, because we provide products and solutions and services that help our clients. And it's an amazing way to make those, to really make a difference in their business. Now, I'm not saying it's world peace, but it really does. You're giving someone a gift of taking care of a problem or a challenging, or helping them move to the other side of something that was really blocking them and they truly desire to resolve. So it's really is that it's a gift that you're able to then give to your clients.
Yeah, helping to serve. And if you're helping them and you're serving them, then they will, you know, obviously they're going to be drawn to you, right? Because that's what everybody wants. They want to be helped and they want to be served. There's been a weird thing about serving in my mind for the past few years. It's like, do we serve people? I don't know. I mean, we do, but do we want to be servants? I guess that's the thing.
Well, yeah, I don't look at it as that way. It's absolutely a mutually beneficial and an equal peer-to-peer relationship. It doesn't matter if you're selling to the president of the company or you're working with the person that they've assigned you to help implement something. So even in my corporate sales career, I was, you know, great to the receptionists. I mean, they are the gatekeepers. And I would see so many people being absolutely rude to them. Now, first of all, they're another human being, so there's no excuse for that. And second, you know, having a great relationship with the gatekeeper, when I came in, it was, oh, well, just go on up, trot on upstairs. You know?
Yeah.
When I was physically going into the businesses I was working with. And so I want everyone to really think about how they're approaching that, because every single person deserves to be treated with compassion, dignity, and respect. And that's really a part of my core sales philosophy, is that worthy intent. And this is your genuine desire to help and serve others, to sell with intent, and to create massive impact.
Yeah, I like that. What do you think is the one of the main stumbling blocks that entrepreneurs have when they're working on selling their product? Because a lot of the people that are listening are they've created this business, right? And they want to sell their product. What do you feel that you've seen in your years of experience that holds them back? What's the big sticky point?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first off is they have to get out of their own way. So it's not about them. It's your client who decides to purchase. They're the ones who decide to make this commitment. So it's about them, and you've got to reframe your perspective into your client's thinking. So that's first, you know. Second, I want them to rethink about their mindset. Many people are uncomfortable with sales. They feel like they're asking or they're pestering. Well, and I'm here to tell you, if you don't ask, you don't get, okay? So you got to ask. But I want them to rethink about what is the impact that they're delivering, whether it's a product or service.
Yeah.
And that is the value that you're delivering. And it's important. And so if you're denying someone that because you're not asking them for the sale or you're not following up, you are doing them a disservice. Mm-hmm. So there's some mindset work for some people. That's stumbling block number two. And stumbling block number three is they're not following up. They don't have a system. I mean, you're all about organizing things and having this well thought out system. Well, let me tell you, you need the same thing in your follow-up because most people, a very small percentage of people are ready to make an instant decision. Right. It's one thing if you're buying a box of cookies,
right,
but
right.
Completely different when you're investing in your business and yourself, or mm-hmm. you're buying a specific product or service. So, and in some cases, there's other people that need to be involved in the decision-making process. So I want people to start thinking about how are they going to follow up? And there's a couple of core principles on that, just as you are going to start organizing, right? It's not like all of a sudden you're going to wave a magic wand. It's all going to be gone. No, it's bit by bit. You know, you eat a meal one bite at a time. So it's the same with building your follow-up strategy. But as you build it out and you're building it on the fly, you're building something that's focused on value, that's focused on why it matters to your client. And at the end of however many, I have a 13-step cadence. Now that whole, you know, I've done it live week by week. You can rinse and repeat. You do it now, you can do it with, and you can start with the next person, you know, at week two, they're starting at week one, right? And so having a system and having a well thought out plan that is directly connected to what matters to your client, that is going to be your competitive edge. Because ironically, 80% of the sales are made by 20% of the people because those 80% have been abandoned by all your competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The old 80-20 rule. It's everywhere. Like it works in everything. It's just really interesting to me how the Pareto principle, no matter what you're talking about, it's true. Yeah. So you said you have a 13-step cadence. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I love that word. I love that word.
Lucky 13.
Uh-huh. So, cadence, strategy, that's an interesting word. Why do you come up with that?
Well, because the cadence is the timing. And so depending on your product or service or your industry, you may need to adjust your cadence. So in real estate, your cadence could be very rapid fire. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the B2B world, you're going to most likely slow that down. And so, you know, you plan that cadence. And this is a way that you can avoid people feeling that they're being hunted, stalked, pestered, right? Mm-hmm. Is to be respectful of the cadence. The second thing is that you're leading and delivering value. Because then, even if they're too busy, they're registering in their mind, top of mind, that you delivered something of value, even though they can't do anything with it.
Right.
Because they're busy. You know, I mean, the most times that people don't reply, it's because they're busy. Okay, people, they're busy. But when you do those two things, you really kind of, and then the last one is change up the methods and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people forget the most simple element, pick up the darn phone and make a phone call,
right?
A human voice. If you are going to send them direct message, if you can do it on the app and you can send it as a voice message, that is like a human touch, like a human being actually reached out to me, you know, and you've planned what you're going to say. And then I'd call it either a dynamic duo or a triumphant triangle. There's a couple of different formulas that I use. But if you start with a phone call or a direct message, then you send an email with the information with a link to the value. And so there are a number of things that you can put together and assemble, as I said, on the fly, but with your client sharply in focus as to what are their challenges, their pain points, what are their objections, so that you can be answering them as you're building your relationship block by block. You're building your credibility. You're building the trust. They're getting to know and like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that leads me to the question I was going to say. Do you say phone calls? Do you say emails? And yours is, you know, you mix it up, right? So you have a phone call, then an email, and then possibly a text or that kind of thing.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I even include sending packages. Set if you're selling into a business, most likely that business has a fax machine. So this is an out of the box idea, people. Tune in, because nobody gets faxes anymore. That's going to show up right on slam on their desk. In fact, they may go running through the hall yelling, look, I got a fax, you know? So, I mean, literally one page, I have a whole formula for that, but it's, you know, so it depends, of course, on your clientele and where they hang out, but there's a lot of different ways that you can connect with people, and people are going to be receptive to different things at different times. So that's why you mix it up, because it keeps it fresh. It keeps it interesting. It keeps them engaged. Whether they're responding or not, they are hearing and seeing you.
Yeah. And that's what I think that a lot of solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, they think they get their feelings hurt because they're not being responded to. And they're thinking it's all about them. Oh, they must not like me. They're not realizing that person has like 50 other phone calls, you know, waiting in the wings, or, you know, 1,000 emails, as some of my clients, and, you know, they can't just wade through all the information that's being sent to them.
Oh yeah. We're being bombarded every day. And so really, delivering that value and finding a way to make what you're doing informational and entertaining. So my friend Tom calls it infotainment. And it truly does make a difference, because I mean, recently I had the president of a company forward an email to a sales and marketing director with contact Lynn, you know, and literally it was one of my emails, and she replied back and she thought it was so funny. I was comparing a rumpled coat and the great mouse detective with being a detective in sales, right? I mean, because you have to be a detective in sales. So rumpled coat, by the way, is Columbo.
Ah, infotainment. I love that. So talk to me about one of your clients, before and after. What happens? Who is your ideal client that you love working with? And tell me a story.
Well, I work I work with small businesses or micro businesses where there's, you know, there, it could be a solopreneur, but they might often have a VA or a couple, or they have a few partners, something like that. Or it's a small business that the founder is still doing all the sales and they're at that cusp of needing to make a change because they've got too much business. They need to have somebody, some help with the sales. So, to be honest, my number one thing about my ideal client is that they have worthy intent, that they truly desire to help and serve their clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that the second thing is that the relationship matters to them. They want to build, in my case, lifelong relationships, but mm-hmm. they want to build a relationship with their clients. And yeah. So those are two things that I say everyone should have 5 heck yeses, that if your client can't answer heck yes to, you are not going to work with them. Those are two of mine. And the reason for that is that it's a two-way street, right? You don't want to work with somebody who is not going to be a good fit, because you're going to, that 80-20 rule, now it's working in your disfavor.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending 80% of your time on 20% of your clients, right? So it's a really important to know that. And the biggest thing that people have after working with me is that they have a consistent, repeatable, scalable process. And what happens is that they graduate per se, they go on and do their things, and then they come back and they rehire me when they're ready for that next stage,
mm-hmm.
or when things change. I had a lot of people come back to me like during COVID. I mean, I had one client who lost 80% of his business or in literally 1 month. And mm-hmm. so it was what were we going to do to save his company? And we did. We came up with a solution, and he stabilized that year. And the Q1 of the following year, he got back to where he was. So But we built out a whole new virtual product, a service that he didn't have before, which he still has now, right? It's part of his big offering. But the thing is that things change all the time. It doesn't take a pandemic. There's other things that happen, mm-hmm. right? 2 years ago, AI, most of us hadn't really heard about it, this and that. Now it's like everywhere, right? So just, I want everybody to remember that it's a constantly changing and evolving world. And so you don't have to stay on the bleeding edge, but you need to keep your ear to the ground and stay on top of those things, because you're going to need to make adjustments and refinements in your sales strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about a time when you had to adjust your sales and what happened with, you know, we all have the ups and downs in our business, right? We all have things that are like the Hail Marys, or, you know, we rise up. What's happened with you in the time that you've been in this industry?
Well, I mean, I was, I'm a consultant, a sales consultant. So I have previously done a lot of private client work. And what happens is I can only work with so many clients at a time. Yeah. Honestly. So one of the things was learning how to do a group program. Mm. And the first time it was sort of a set program. It ran for 13 weeks. And, you know, I love the lucky 13. And so now it's a rolling program. And so it allows me to help more people. And so that I can see that ripple of them being able to sell their wonderful products and services and help more people. And so it's a transition. So everyone has different transitions in their business. It's,
yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, it's funny. That's when people generally hire me, is when they're in transition of some sort, right? They're trying to reinvent and rethink about a way to do things. And it's perfect for you as well. That's why I think we're synchronistic. So you started it as just a group program, a set time. And then you're like, wait a minute, this isn't really quite working. Let's make it so it's rolling, so anybody can enter into it at any time, but they get on the same tracks as.
Right. Right. Because my three die on the hills are in everything, and which is client thinking, follow-up, and worthy intent. So if you start at closing, if you start in the closing month, everybody needs help closing anyway, right? And so there's a few modules that are not live that you are recorded, but everything else is all live. So of course, if you miss something, you can watch the recording, but everything I do is designed to really have that human to human interaction to get that it sticks. It sticks better. People can ask questions in the moment. They can get things sorted out. They can hear what somebody else is struggling with, and a light bulb goes out. Oh my gosh, this is how I could do that for myself. And yeah. So it's, I just am a really adamant about having live human to human interaction.
Well, and that's sales. I mean, really, there's not a lot of sales that happens where people just click the button unless it's, yeah.
Yeah, an SaaS solution, sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when you have a big win or a success, how do you celebrate that?
Oh, it depends, you know. So a month ago, I was at a speaking event, and I actually got sick the night before. And all that day I was just dragging. And so then when it's my turn to go onto the stage, it was like someone had flipped a switch. Ta-da! You know, yeah. So I did my talk, all that. Well, and at the end of the evening, you know, the audience picked like their favorite speakers. And so they had brought up number three, they brought up the, you know, the second runner up or whatever. And I just thought, okay, yeah, it's not gonna be me, you know. And there were some other really good speakers, and all of a sudden it was me. I was the best speaker of that evening, right? And so for that, I mean, I did share it with my audience. I had there were photos taken, and it's also a story I can tell. And when you build a relationship with people, they want to celebrate your wins too. Mm-hmm. But it's not all about me. Usually that's sort of unusual, but it is celebrating with my online family, but it's also with my team and my personal family. So yeah. In fact, my little microphone trophy is in the back of me right now. I know. That's awesome. I put it right back there. So celebrating your wins, everyone needs to do that. And they can be a little win for the day. Okay. Yeah. I've gone through a big move, and I'm going to tell you, you look at the garage and I went, I don't even know where to start. But when you work on just one area and it takes a little while, all of a sudden you see like, wow, then you come in a few days later and it's like, that area is clean. That's organized. It's ready to go. You feel great. And it's like, you definitely have a dance party and now you're ready for the next thing. And it's the same thing in sales. When you think through the sales process, the experience that you want people to have, you create a lead magnet. Well, what happens then? All right, for goodness sakes, just don't let them drop off the face of the earth. No, they've got to be welcomed. You got to start feeding them infotaining content, you know, make the connection deeper brick by brick. And so you have to have a plan, and then you implement that plan step by step.
Yeah, I love it. Of course, we're talking about that, which leads me into my question. What's your favorite organizing hack or program, or what's your favorite jam when it comes to getting organized for your business?
Well, for my business, one of the things that I do is that, I mean, our team, we use Google Drive. We also have a separate cloud storage so that everything's backed up multiple times. I'm into redundancy. But one of the things that we do is what makes sense as to where it's put. And the file hierarchy actually mimics what's on my personal hard drive. So there's no question as to where it goes. But when there's a question about where something should be stored, we actually will talk about it. Or we'll also look at it. Do we even need things here? What should we change? What, you know? And so I try to make it as intuitive and as simple. And then everyone uses the same process. So we have a master schedule for everything that's going on. And at a glance, we've used the red light, green light. People can tell, you know, and different people touch it. Amanda touches it for the website. Rachel touches it for social. Christina touches it for video and graphics. Well, they can tell, and they fill in their little slot, and they turn the color. Uh-huh. And it's automatic. They just change the, you know, ready or whatever, ready for website, or the whole thing turns green.
And but is that in Google Drive?
It is on Google Drive. We use a Google Sheet. So we manage everything that way. Now you can use all kinds of elaborate stuff and things like that. Sure. And that's cool. But I am not some giant Fortune 500 client company. I never will be. A Google Sheet works great for me. That's another thing. Just don't overcomplicate it.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to overcomplicate things when it's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's, I love the idea of color coding in your Google Sheets. That's good. Yeah. That's good. And having the same hierarchy, I tell my people that all the time. It's like, let's use the same system for your papers and your digital. Let's just use the same system for everything for your team. That way it makes sense. And no one's, if anybody doesn't know, someone's going to know. Yeah. The answer to that.
And you can always find something, right?
Yeah. Okay, Lynn. So if you could turn back time and tell your 18-year-old self, who's already won the Girl Scout truckload badge, what would you tell her? What kind of
You know what? I mean, there are certain things that I would love to change, but on the other hand, I think it's the journey that you go down.
Yeah.
And would I actually change anything? No, I think I would just say, you got this, girl, you go out there and just, you know, it's about a life well lived.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd tell myself to buy Apple stock. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And just make sure that you are in the frame mind of helping and serving and believing in what you're selling. Yeah, that's good. I love it. Okay, so I know you probably have a valuable free resource for people. And, you know, people, if you're out there and you're struggling with sales, you really need to consider this. So what is it, Lynn, that you're going to offer the audience here?
Yeah, I have a sales strategy checklist. And this really will walk you through the sales process. And you can see if you've got a step missing, because sometimes why things aren't working is because there's a gap. And it's real simple, 4-page, and it's going to help you out quite a bit.
Perfect. I love it. Anything that has to do with strategy, that's it. And we'll put the download link in the show notes so that you can go ahead and download it and connect with Lynn. And I'm sure that she's available to answer any questions for you as well. So just check her out and connect, because we're all about connections here, right? That's the situation. That's the story. Let's connect. Let's become compadres in just business, you know, helping each other grow a business. That's what it's all about. Okay, so is there anything that we should have talked about, any question that I didn't ask you as we wrap that you would like to talk about?
Well, I do want to say that it's so important that you have a plan. And when you don't have a plan, you know, you're to a certain extent, you're running around with your head cut off, or you're like running with scissors. You don't want to do that. It's just not a good look, and things happen. So having a plan, even if it's on a scratch paper, it's going to help you so tremendously. Just know where you're at and to capture things like, oh, I forgot this, because you see it. I know that that's singing to the choir here, but for those of you out there, this isn't a seat of your pants thing.
Sales don't happen accidentally, hardly ever. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Or your business and how it grows and scales.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you. This has been really, really awesome. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do in the world. And I mostly appreciate your integrity and the fact that you have the litmus for what type of clients you want to work for and with. Because that's what it's all about, is women helping women who are in sync, who have the same ethics and standards. So I do appreciate you a lot for that, Lynn.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And it's been such a pleasure. And right back at you, you are so amazing at what you do. And I'm truly honored to be on your show.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Well, until next week, guys, we're signing off, and I will see you on the next podcast. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.